Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we'll read the first 7 verses. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 to 7. Solomon says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice, and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'd bless the message tonight. I pray that you'd speak to us specifically from verse 4 and following on the subject of vowing before God. Help us, Father. Teach us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, as we started, just in review of Ecclesiastes 5, Solomon now beheld those that entered into the house of God to worship. Remember, this is in the context of worship, everything that Solomon teaches us here. Specifically, he beheld how they entered into the house of God, how they entered into the presence of God. What were they thinking about? And where were their hearts? Did they realize, do we realize, that we are coming into the presence of God? Now, I've said that for 3 weeks now, and I would hope that would always be on our hearts when we cross the threshold to meet and gather with the saints, that we're entering into the presence of God. Koheleth, or the preacher, commanded us of the imperative of preparing our hearts before entering into the house of God, and to be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. And remember what the sacrifice of fools is. It's coming in with a heart not intent to worship, but speaking out as if you did come in with a heart intent to worship. Speaking piously before God when your heart is not at all intent on worshiping God. There's nothing that God hates more than hypocrisy. Or he might hate some things more, but he hates hypocrisy. And make no bones about it, we ought to hate it in ourselves. Therefore, Solomon teaches us, be more ready to hear. And to hear here means to obey. You remember that. Be more ready to hear when you're in God's presence. And be not rash with thy mouth. And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Tonight, it's going to be in the context of a vow. It is one of the characteristics of the fool, as you remember, to enter into God's presence carelessly and thoughtlessly. We must never do that. We mustn't even open the Word of God privately, carelessly and thoughtlessly. We should always consider the highness of God, the majesty of God, and the holiness of God. Listen, we must have a high view of God. Those that do not have a high view of God will not have a high view of God's worship. Those that do have a high view of God will have a very high view of God's worship. And so, brethren, we want to have a very high view of God, and therefore our worship will follow suit. And again, don't ever forget that when we gather for worship, this is holy ground. Now, Solomon addresses to us something tonight that we all probably do more than what we realize. Maybe not in the sense of a formal vow. We know that when we marry, we exchange what? Our wedding vows. And we vow before God to love this woman, to love this man, to honor and to cherish them for as long as we both shall live. So we offer our vows before God. Now, we, brethren, probably say things before God, maybe not, and we shouldn't, but we say things in the presence of God with our lips, things which we promise God that we will do, perhaps in service and devotion. I'm going to do this or that, God, if. And we see those examples in the scriptures. Remember, Jacob slept under the stars. He said, Lord, if thou will indeed be with me, Genesis 28, I think that is, he said, then I will serve thee. It was a vow that he made before God. And so we will say things like that. I am going to be devoted to your word, Lord. I am going to pray effectually and fervently every morning. We've probably all done that. It's in the form of a vow. A vow means a solemn promise to the Lord. Lord, I promise I'm going to do this. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that, but we need to be careful what we say. How often have we made solemn promises to God, vows to do something in a passionate moment, but then afterward we didn't keep that promise? Now, keep that in your mind. We're going to come back to that thought. But let's look at verse 4. Solomon here says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. So fools are those that will be hasty and rash with their mouths to vow something without thinking about it first. The wise man or woman will be those that will look at the scripture where it says, better that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. And again, a vow in context here is a solemn promise or an oath made to God or in the presence of God. Here, it's in the context of worship, because that's where we started in chapter 5 and verse 1. I think we're still in that context. Hence, when we vow a vow unto God in his presence. And I think what Solomon's saying is it's words spoken in a vow before God. And once again, the fool comes to the forefront. Koheleth identifies fools as those who make vows to God, but then they do not keep their vows or solemn promises to God. They say things openly and in the presence of God, and then they do not follow suit. Now, with that in mind, we must be very careful of making vows or promises in the presence of God before we have first wisely considered and carefully thought about what we are about to commit ourselves to in God's holy presence. Hence, be not rash with thy mouth to vow, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. And then Koheleth writes, when you do vow a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, because he says this, I have no pleasure in fools. And so God's not pleased with those that do not pay their vows. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be involved in anything that God is not pleased with. If God says, I have no pleasure in this, then I don't want to be in that, whatever it is. Now, look at Numbers chapter 30 and verse 1, just two verses. Now, if you want to read about the rules on vows in the Old Testament, you could read the entire chapter 30. We'll just read verses 1 and 2. Numbers chapter 30 and verse 1 and verse 2. But the whole context of the chapter is vows are not to be broken. Chapter 30 and verse 1, Numbers. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that, and this is key, proceeded out of his mouth. That's the key here. Now look at Deuteronomy 23:21. The book of Deuteronomy 23 and 21. And then we'll go to the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 21. When thou vowest a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee, that is, to not pay it. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. There's a key. If thou forbear, in other words, you are cautious and you don't vow rashly. Verse 23, that which is gone out of thy lips, again, that's the key, thou shalt keep and perform. Even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. Now, Matthew 5, the Lord Jesus dealt with swearing before God. I think vowing and swearing are akin. They're a little different, but they're much the same. So the Lord Jesus here dealt with swearing before God in the Sermon on the Mount. And again, it's very similar to making a vow before God, Matthew 5:33. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33. Jesus said, again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself. Forswear means swear falsely. In other words, it's kind of like going into the courtroom and they make you put your hand on the Bible. I don't know if they still do that. And they make you raise your right hand before you testify. And they say, do you swear to tell the truth? And you say, I do. So by putting your hand on the Bible, or they'll say, do you swear before God? You're calling God as a witness that what you're saying is absolutely true. I'm not going to lie. Forswearing yourself would be like doing that, but lying, perjuring yourself. And so Jesus says, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. In other words, that which you've sworn to do, or it's very similar to vowing. He says, but I say unto you, swear not at all. There's the safe place. Swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But here's what you should do. Let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. And so he says, ye have heard that it hath been said of old time, and it was written in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:12. He was probably referring here. It says, and ye shall not swear by my name, in Leviticus 19:12, falsely, God says. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. If you swear by God and you lie, you're profaning God's name. You're calling God as a record that you're telling the truth and you're lying. Now, in Jesus' day, in the time that he spoke the Sermon on the Mount, it had become commonplace among the people to swear in common conversations. Now, haven't we heard that? You could hear it among young people. You'll hear people, even older people, I swear to God, when they're trying to convince you that they're telling the truth. In fact, it's all too common that people say those things. Jesus said, swear not at all. It's not that it's wrong to swear, but it shouldn't be something that's coming out of your mouth left and right. He said, let your yea be yea. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Don't speak rashly. It's commonplace, again, to hear people saying that. And again, realize when you're saying that, you're calling God in as a witness that what you're saying is absolutely true. Now think about those that make vows or solemn promises to God when they aren't serious about keeping that vow. But listen, that doesn't matter, because once the words go forth out of your lips and you make that vow, God is going to hold you to that vow. So he said, don't vow and not pay. Don't defer to pay it. So Jesus in Matthew 5 said, stop all of your swearing before God in common conversations. Solomon, Ecclesiastes 5, says, Christian, be careful of being rash with your mouth in vowing vows unto God if you're not going to keep them. So back to our text, the preacher is admonishing us about making vows and promises in the context of worshiping in the presence of God. If you do that, God is going to hold you to it to pay that which thou hast vowed. Listen, that's like coming into the presence of God and coming to the gathering and openly vowing in the presence of God that you're going to do this or that before God. Proverbs 20:25, just listen. Solomon there says, it is a snare to the man who devoureth. To devour here in this passage means to speak rashly or blurt something out inconsiderately concerning that which is holy or in the presence of God. So it's a snare to the man who devoureth or speaks rashly in the presence of God. And then after he vows something, as Proverbs 20:25 says, he makes inquiry. It means after he's vowed a vow before God, or after he's rashly vowed a vow before God, he reconsiders what he has vowed. He's already made that vow, and then he says, maybe I shouldn't have done that. He reconsiders. So it's a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy and after vows to make inquiry. And in Proverbs 18:7, as a cross-reference, the fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So Solomon's teaching us about fools that come into the presence of God to worship, and they say things that they ought never to say. They vow things before God that they should never vow. Listen, the most famous New Testament example of lying to God when a promise was made by these two persons in particular is in Acts chapter 5 of Ananias and Sapphira. Look at it. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. In the previous chapter, in chapter 4, many of the people were selling their lands, and they brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. In other words, they promised that we're going to sell these things and we're going to give the money to the Lord. Ananias and Sapphira promised the Lord that they would give the Lord the cost of their land. But it says there in verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Might not have been land, but it might have been land. And they promised the Lord to give the full price. But in verse 2, it says they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? You didn't have to promise that, but you did. And after it was so, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And we know what happened after that. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4, when thou vowest a vow or make a solemn promise unto God or in the presence of God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Now back to what I said in the opening, or when we opened this text, how many times do we promise God something, but then we don't deliver or offer unto God what we have vowed unto him? Do we do that? Do we say things with our lips? And listen, this is all about what we say. And I realize some of those might not be perceived by you to be a vow, but if we promise God something, brethren, we need to deliver it. Think about it. We get caught up in the moment and make promises to God. We ought never to do that if we don't have the intention of keeping it. So we get caught up in the moment, we make promises to God that we are going to do more for God from now on, and then after a few days, we fail to keep our words which we express before God. I would say that we should never say, Lord, I'm going to do this. Listen, don't commit to resolutions. Don't make passionate promises and vows in the presence of God. Let your words be few. Be not rash with thy mouth. Refrain from speaking unadvisedly with your lips before God. Here's what we ought to do. Jesus said, swear not at all. We ought to continue steadfastly in our Christian lives. We have today. Don't think into tomorrow. Purpose to serve God today. Always reaching forth, steady as she goes. Keep the straight gate that leads to life in your sights. Walk by faith in Christ in this moment, 1 minute, 1 hour, and 1 day at a time. There will be vows that every one of us will enter into in our lives. Vows which we are to perform and keep. Let them be entered into cautiously and carefully. If you have vowed a vow before God, and we all have, defer not to pay it. And he finishes, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. And so it is what we speak in a vow. Neither say thou before the angel or the messenger that it was an error. I didn't mean to say that. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? And he closes, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities. And here's the bottom line in all of it for our Christian lives, brethren. Fear thou God. Be careful of what you say in the presence of God. That's the bottom line. Listen, again, this has everything to do with your view of God, your esteem and your reverence and your respect for God. But if you have a very low view of God, again, you will take the name of the Lord in vain like a fool, never considering that you are doing so. Again, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Don't swear or vow at all unless you first consider what you are about to do and whose name you are doing it before, who you're promising. So be careful of vowing a vow. But when you do, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he, that is God, hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Amen. Well, let's dismiss in prayer and we'll take some requests for prayer. Father, we ask that you'd help us, Father, to realize the gravity of what you command us here. Father, help us never to speak unadvisedly. Help us never to speak rashly and vow unto you something that we haven't long thought through. But Father, when we do vow, unto thee, O God, that we would not defer to pay that which we owe. Help us, Heavenly Father, to never speak rashly with our mouths. Help us to let our words be few in thy presence. O God, help us even as we hear the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, to swear not at all, but let our yea be yea and our nay, nay. Father, let us not take your name in vain or think lightly of you by making vows and by performing oaths and making promises as we should not. Help us, Heavenly Father. Father, be with those that couldn't be with us tonight. Father, we pray for your church. We ask that you would feed it, that you would strengthen us. Father, even in these days, we pray for those, oh God, our leaders. We pray in the midst of this pandemic. We've been in the midst of it now for several months. Father, we pray for your people. We're so thankful that you've helped us here, Lord, and I pray that you continue to do so. We thank you for the visit this past week with Brother Jamie. We thank you for his ministry. We ask that you'd bless him and give him wisdom. And Father, we ask for those again that aren't here. We think of my cousin Mel, who has cancer, who's undergoing chemo. We pray for him. And also Joel Teagan, who's a missionary, who found out, Father, that he has cancer. We pray for him as well. Oh, Lord, bring forth salvation in Mel. And Father, we know for Brother Joel, we pray you grant him much grace as his cancer seems to be terminal. And now, Lord, bless our remaining few moments. We'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.